hearing what he's trying to say about who he is as a black man from America, from specifically also, you know, the West Coast. Like, there's a lot to say about that, but I think it is so common. We even have it here, where there are plenty of white dudes, white girls who listen to our music, who buy that shit, who go to the concerts, and they do not hear it. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't actually hear it.
And I think there, even if you do hear it, I do think there's a limit on how much you're going to be able to understand.
Of course.
You know?
Of course.
And so, like, because you're going to run into black people here who aren't necessarily proud to be American, but are proud to be black.
Right.
You know? And that still mm-hmm. it's in a similar vein. We all have a different way of interpreting it.
Yeah.
But it's that thing in which we are all deeply proud to be black and what that has done here.
Exactly.
You know? So, I do just think that unless you are a part of the culture, you're never truly going to fully grasp it.
Right.
And that's okay.
It's okay.
That's okay.
I don't expect to fully grasp mm-hmm. things, but I think personally it comes from a place of, I would say, privilege is probably not the right word, but I think it comes from a, why can't I have and do everything? You know, that I think that especially a lot of white people may have when it comes to different kinds of culture, where it's like,
yeah.
I can listen to this music, I can read all the books, I should know everything. It's like, but you just may not know, and that's okay.
Yeah, I also think it's just like, especially if we're talking about like sort of white privilege, having access to everything.
Yes,
always,
and
no one telling you like, hey, there's a limitation here on how much access you're going to be able to get, and right. being denied that, all of a sudden you throw a tantrum like you're a 3-year-old.
Exactly, you will never get to say the word nigga, my nigga.
Let it go. let it go.
And with that said, we're gonna listen to Earthquake by Tyler the Creator. Which
you make my earthquake.
Which, if you do not know, was my first dance song with my husband.
Oh.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay. You live in my dream state. We look at my fantasy. I stay in reality. You live in my dream state. Anytime I count sheep, that's the only time we make up. Make up. You exist behind my eyelids. My eyelids. No, I don't wanna wake.
2020 vision. Cupid hit me with precision. I wonder if you look both ways when you cross my mind. I said I'm sick of chasing. You're the one that's always running through my daydream. I can only see your face when I close my eyes.
Can I get a kiss? And can you make it last forever? I said I'm about to go to war. And I don't know if I'ma see you again. Can I get a kiss?
Can I?
And can you make it last forever?
Can you?
I said I'm about to go to war. And I don't know if I'ma see you again.
Switch it up. I said, okay, dookie. My infatuation is translating to another form of what you call it. Oh yeah, I ain't met you. I've been looking, stuck and waiting for. I stopped the chasing like an alcoholic. You don't understand me, what the fuck do you mean? It's them roasted cheeks, yeah, it's them dirt colored eyes. Sugar, honey, iced tea, bumblebee on the scene. Yeah, I give up my bakery to have a piece of your pie. Ugh.
2020 vision. Cupid hit me with precision. I wonder if you look both ways when you cross my mind. I said I'm sick of chasing. You're the one that's always running through my daydream. I can only see your face when I close my eyes.
So
can I get a kiss?
Show them no respect. This Parker is calm. You're my favorite garçon. Don't leave, stay right here. Yeah, I want you right near. You invited me to breakfast. Why the fuck your ex here? Well, let's see if you round the god around this time next year.
Don't shoot me down.
You some motherfucking danger.
sin. I'ma leave it at that. I'ma leave us as friends. Cause the irony is I don't wanna see you again. Stay the fuck away from me. Stay the fuck away from me. Stay the fuck away from me. I ain't gonna repeat myself, but stay the fuck away from me.
Na-na-na-na-na, my baby.
Uno, peso, never pay attention to when niggas gotta sell, so I keep that buck. I ain't getting no fuck, they ain't build me up, so I block them like Lego. Feeling glitter, feeling good and great. Got the burner, got the heat like weight. Got the shit that's all up on that hit. I use it on myself the day you dip. Got that 4-5-7 track in for me. Baby dog, I hope you agree. Because you like my fire.
This is one side of y'all, can't lie, we ain't gonna work out. We a fat boy, yeah, sumo, got it, memo. Pels can't see through, must be a window. Cause you in the L, could be a DJ. When I see you, my heartbeat change tempo. Yeah, simple, that's what I want, but I can't. That's who you are, but I ain't. You get tracked to skip trace. I'm calling you quick, so wait. Please don't save me. Please don't save me.
How you feel? 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 How you feel?
We didn't get your message either because you were not speaking or because of a bad connection.
Fuck.
I hope you answer. I hope
Hey dad, it's me, oh, I'm Tyler, I think I be your son, sorry, I called you the wrong name, see, my brain's splitting, dad isn't your name, see, faggot's a little more fitting, mama's only 20 when you ain't have any fucks to spare, you Nigerian fuck, now I'm stuck with this shitty facial hair, also stuck with a beautiful home with a case of stairs, see you not being there, fucking fire started my damn career, but fuck it, I got Clancy Heat. Gave me the chance to see a world I wasn't supposed to. I'm stoked that I didn't know you, but sucks you ain't give a fuck and consider a sperm donor now. Fuck is in no coma. I'm changing my shit to Haley, and I just ain't being passive, nigga. You a fucking faggot, nigga. Got a show on Monday. Guess you ain't getting no passes, nigga. But if I ever had the chance to ask this nigga and call him, I hope he answers. My fucking dick and swallow this case of nuts. Ace, hate your guts. I'm a selfish fuck and I ain't sharing green as if I'm facing blunts. Frank is out the closet. Haji's an alcoholic. Sid might be bipolar, but fuck it. I couldn't call it. Supposed to be gone to November, but quickly came back in August. I left 2 months through September to clearly remember August. I would like to tell my grandma, but she just nostalgia. I'll call her number, but she won't answer. Fucking guts, but say I'm on an island in Thailand and I was wildin', and if I got stranded, had to man up and hold my nuts and hope that I could live off salt water and fucking coconuts. Phone ain't got no services, 3G is fucking worthless. Day is getting dark like the area's turning urban. You'll be fucking nervous like me inside of a churches, but I'ma get in contact regardless and I hope you answer. The last verse was about this girl. I never would have thought that feelings could get thrown in the air, 'cause I accidentally caught that. Need some new boxing gloves. Shit got hectic whenever I fought back. For example, 10 minutes can't go past without you brushing my thoughts. That's 1440 a day, so I'll say 144 times I think about you or something like that. Lost match. The fucking thought of you with somebody else, I don't like that. Cellular convos get left in the wrong, 'cause I get so fucking mad when you don't write back. This isn't a song, I just happen to rhyme when I get emo and find time to write facts. I love you. Can we add some more color? Like some more yellow? Yeah, that's good. Emotions bubble. You're good at being perfect. We're good at being troubled. Yeah. I fucking hate you, but I love you. I'm bad at keeping my emotions bubble. You're good at being perfect. We're good at being troubled. Yeah. Girl, you fucking with my emotions. The fuck is all this noise about? I even consider picking up smoking. You turn to a bitch, you let the dogs out. In my doghouse, what? My bitch is
the raddest. Crazy who makes me the happiest can make me the saddest. Look, Alice's get lost in your wonder or like fucking Atlas. You're perfectly perfect for me. What the fuck is this practice? Actually, if you even consider leaving, I lose a couple screws in due time, I'll stop breathing. And you'll see the meaning of stalking when I pop out the dark to find you and that new dude that you're seeing with an attitude that proceeds to fuck up your evenings. Make sure you never meet again like goddamn vegans. Cause when I hear your name, I cannot stop cheesing. I love you so much that my heart stops beating when you leaving and I grieving and my heart starts bleeding. Life without you has no goddamn meaning. Sorry I'm passive aggressive for no goddamn reason. It's that my mood changed like these goddamn seasons. I fall for you, but I love you. I'm bad at keeping my emotions bubbled. You're good at being perfect, we're good at being troubled. Yeah. The sky's falling, girl, it's trying to catch it. The sky's falling, girl, it's trying to catch it. The sky's falling, girl, it's trying to catch it tonight. Come on. Yeah. The sky's falling, girl, it's trying to catch it. The sky's falling, girl, it's trying to catch it. The sky's falling, bitch, let's try to catch it tonight. Come on.
Come on, baby. Even though I hate you, I still love you. I love you. Oh, the same name, I know. I know. I'm passive aggressive.
I'm sorry. Best around.
See, I get jealous. Oh, and if I see that nigga,
I
just might kill him.
Look, I want to strangle you until you stop breathing. Spend the rest of my life looking for air.
Love.
So you could breathe. We could die together, you and me. Fuck. Look,
I'm in love.
Such a fucking dick.
He isn't such a badass, actually. He's only here because he ran away, because some shit happened back home. He's actually a dweeb.
Yo, what happened?
Still friends, can we be?
Goody and the Hoodie. This is Black on Black on Black, and you are here with DJ Queen and
D-Fantastic. I'm so sorry. Okay. I'm sorry about that.
Great.
Sorry about that. Sometimes I just don't know how to act.
Word.
Anyways, that was Are We Still Friends by Tyler, the Creator. And I actually wanted to, I put that together, like that whole list of songs, because it kind of like goes through like a relationship and then heartbreak, right? And being done with it. And I thought, Tyler's such a romantic, and like I just love like.
Can I ask why are we spotlighting Tyler the Creator today?
Because his birthday was this month, and I thought, yeah, his birthday. He's born one day apart from me, literally, like same birthday year and everything. So. You didn't have any other suggestions. You know, I don't have fucking time for
you
this.
Didn't. First of all, you just told me this is what we were gonna do.
Well, did you argue? Did you say? You know what?
I love that you made it seem like you asked me for suggestions. You did not. You were like, I'm gonna do Tyler the Creator because it's his birthday. I was just like,
right.
There's a lot of people. It's also their birthdays, and we don't choose. But you know what? Live.
Let's move past it. Live. Anyway, so segment two. I want to talk about my birthday and stuff.
Hey.
So in case you don't know, Dean Fantastic is born on the same day as her dad and her grandfather, my dad's dad. And it's been awesome. I mean, 35 years of sharing birthdays. It is truly, truly one of my favorite things about having my birthday. I remember growing up, people being like, oh my God, are you envious or like sad that you have to share a birthday with, you know, like your family members? I'm like, nah, dude, it's fucking awesome. And so this year was actually pretty monumental. We lost my grandfather last year. He turned 95. So he made it to 95. And then, you know, a month later, he left. And so this is a big year for me and my dad. You know, it was just not just us, but you know, it was me and him, right? And so I kind of wanted to spit out some like fun, like favorite memories of my grandfather. When I was in middle school, I actually spent like a week, like during spring break, in Beaumont. That's where my grandparents used to live. And I went out there and stayed with them, and that was really, really nice. Looking back, it's one of those moments where, as a kid, like I wish I had done like more, I don't know, writing notes and stories about like their lives or whatever. But it was just so nice. My parents just dropped me off there, and I spent a full week just hanging out there. I was also hanging out with one of my cousins and, you know, what is technically my uncle, but I won't get into that. And you know, it was just a really good time to actually sit there and like connect with them. I remember it was really funny. There were like times that like we had to get back home before the lights came on outside. My grandmother like threatened to spank me, and I remember being like 12 and like, what's happening? But you know, it's like one of those moments where like, yeah, this makes sense. But like, you know, it was just so nice hanging out with them. And I remember that's one of my favorite moments of doing that. I also loved seeing my grandfather barbecue. You know, like it just was so, A, he was just really fucking good at it. And B, it's just whenever you see someone at work with food like that, like it's really, really cool. You know, like taking your time with it, studying it, like learning it and stuff like that. And so my dad learned from him, and now I'm learning from my dad. I mean, I've been like probably under my dad's like full apprenticeship for probably 7-8 years now. Probably it was like pre-COVID, I think. And every time I go back, especially during the summer, like I learn more from my dad, who he learned from his dad. You know, it's just a continual, like generational, like this is how, you know, I won't say my last name, my, you know, maiden last name. This is how we barbecue, you know, and that's awesome. One of my favorite memories that I bring up consistently is when I was a kid, I've always been obsessed with animals, right? Always. And I always wanted to catch a bird. Right? Always want to catch a bird.
Really?
Yeah, because birds are really cool. And I don't want to hurt them, but I want to like hold them in their feathers, you know? And so my grandfather, I think, was actually visiting my parents in Houston. And so he sees me like, you know, trying to chase down whatever. And he's like, hey, this is the secret of catching birds. If you grab like a salt shaker and you get close and you put the salt on their tail, you can catch it. And I'm like, okay. Great, I got this. Like, I can definitely do this, right? Hell yeah. I was like, I've gotten so close. And so I grabbed the salt shaker, and like, I would get close to these birds and like try to throw the salt on them, and they just go. And I'm like, missing it completely.
All the
salt. And I mean, I spent like a full day doing this.
I'm sure.
And I'm like, why is this not working? What's going on? So I go inside, and he's got this grin on his face. And I'm like, I'm like, Grandpa, like, Pawpaw, like, what's going on? Like, I can't catch these birds. And he was like,
that'll work.
If a bird lets you get close enough to put salt on it, that bird is one dumb motherfucker.
That man watched you all day. Like, look at that. Right.
Now, He didn't say those exact words, but it was along the lines of like, if a bird lets you put salt on his feathers, you obviously can catch it, right? Yep. Like you obviously can catch it. And it was so hilarious because I was certain that there was somehow the trick to it. And no.
That's hella funny.
My grandfather was truly, and I mean, I would say a lot of people in my family are funny. My grandfather is truly one of the funniest people. He was so quick with it. I mean, he was quick with it until he died. Like, I'm not joking. We spent time with him for his 95th birthday last year. And he passed in April, like, you know, about a month and some change, or, you know, a little less than a month. He was still cracking jokes, man. Still cracking jokes at like 95 years old. And I think that will be me for sure. I can't say that that won't be me. And obviously, you know, second to that, I have had such great memories with my dad over these 35 years. And I kind of want to talk about those because, you know, it was our birthday and sharing birthdays together. And it's just really nice. So if y'all don't know this, I ran track for a pretty long time, probably from like 5 until like 16. And my dad actually started a track club in support of my desire for running because the track club that we were at, he was leaving for, you know, his own personal reasons. So I got to have him as my coach. Yeah, there were some crazy moments, you know, like, I mean, 400 meter repeats just because, you know, like, you know, 400 meter hurdle repeats just because,
yep,
you know,
gotta want it.
In the middle of Texas summer, like at 6 p.m., it's still hot as fuck, by the way.
Yeah, run it.
Houston, Texas summer, hot as fuck, humid as fuck. But I will say there was a particular memory of mine. So I used to race this girl. We'd call her the horse.
Because I've been looking at this comment, she was very tall.
Yeah. And taller than me. I was a tall child. And so I would always race her in 800 meters. And she just had these legs, man. I just could not. I was like always right behind her. We were running somewhere really, really hot one summer. 800 meters comes up. And I fucking get after it. And I'm on her like the whole time. But it is steaming hot. Crazy hot, 800 meters, and I somehow get ahead of her. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you I am running like my life depends on it, so I'm about to beat her. I can hear her breathing down the back of my neck. And I cross the finish line. I beat her once, and my dad was there, and I collapse, and he catches me, and he is so proud of me, and I will never forget that. I will die with that memory in my mind. And he just looks at me, and he's like, "You did so good. I'm so proud of you." Like I can see he's like getting emotional because he's never seen me like beat this girl, yeah. And I'm excited to beat this girl, and it's just like all hands. Aww. One of my favorite memories. I won't cry now, but I think about that often. So thank you, Dad. Another one of my favorite moments is, so I did Taekwondo growing up. I actually have a black belt technically, and I was pretty intense when it came to sparring. So I often had to spar the other boys because it was just that's how it was. And so I think I was an orange belt at the time, and there were these two brothers. One was like a big dude, and one was like shorter but like faster. Mm-hmm. And in the tournament, I had to fight both of them. The big guy that I fought, I mean, his weight class is completely out of pocket. I don't know why they put us together.
Why are y'all fighting together?
But because I was that good. Mm. So anyways, he kicks me in my chest, and like the air is knocked out of me. And my dad tells the story. He's like, I want to get in that ring and fight that
I bet. Like, why are you doing that?
My mom's like, calm down.
Yo,
she
you
got
must
it.
Went flying.
She, no, I went flying.
Yeah, you
I remember,
must
I remember,
flying.
I remember hitting the back of my mat and I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
Like a second. So anyways, I get back up and they're like, are you good? I'm good. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. No, I got it.
I'm not
I
good.
Got it. I got I'm, it. Mm. I beat him and his brother and I won that tournament.
That's amazing.
And he was there and I love hearing his side of the story. It's super funny, but that's a good like memory that I had, you know? Those are both childhood memories. This is an adult memory that he probably just doesn't necessarily remember, but like I just think about all the time. I was probably like young 20s, maybe 23 or whatever. Houston, I was back in Houston for a moment. And you know when you're like getting to re-know your parents as an adult?
Yeah.
Me and my dad just like went to go get beers at the Flying Saucer, which is like a you know, a little beer garden place in Houston, or Sugar Land exactly. But like this place has like so many beers, it's ridiculous. Like they have so many taps, that's why it's called the Flying Saucer. We go there, and it was my first time really sitting down with my dad and just like having beers with him. And it was like just one of my favorite memories. Like we're just like talking and shooting the shit and laughing and talking about whatever. And I remember it was Alaska. It was the Alaska brand beer. An Alaska girl comes around and she's like, "If y'all drink an Alaska beers, you'll get a free glass for free." So she brought the beers over and we had those Alaskan beers and like we drank them, and I think I still have that Alaska glass
because
it was just so literally
cute.
Like just one of my favorite moments, like with my dad. I don't remember what we were talking about in particular. He had just bought in the Porsche. I remember we drove up there in the Porsche, and it was really nice. So I mean, there's so many memories I can tell about me and my dad, but I was like, I'll try and, you know, dump down some of my favorites of the thousands. But, you know, just wanted to give a shout out to Dad. You know, I love you, Dad. You're amazing. And I'm so glad to share all 35 birthday years. Let's do 35 more, you know?
That's special. And I remember your dad telling the story about, like, for the Guinness record, you'd have to, what?
I have to have a baby on my birthday.
You got
this. Yeah.
Bro, you got this.
Anyways, we're gonna get into it. I'm actually gonna play one of my favorite Tyler the Creator songs, and we'll talk about that before we like get into our next segment. It's called Colossus. So people who don't know, Tyler the Creator's first three albums are a storytelling of just his alter egos and like this therapist or whatever. And like Tyler the Creator, or like Eminem, because Tyler the Creator was so edgy in his first three albums, he got some really crazy and weird fans. Mm-hmm. And this is the first song where he's like talked about like what it's like having weird fans like that, and being like, the story that I'm telling you is not real. It's all a part of like, you know, being an edgy rapper, but also I've distanced myself because that's not me. Like it's a story that I'm telling about my different alter egos or whatever. It's not me.
Yeah. So Colossus, Tyler the Creator fan base is crazy.
Yes. Yeah, so the Colossus really is about him. It's basically Tyler the Creator's version of Stan. So I wanted us to listen to it because it's fucking wild.
Let's get it.
Six flags came up and said, "Hey yo, can we get a pic?" I said, "No." And they said, "Oh, it's Wolfgang Yonkers. Goblin is my shit though." Now I'm like, fuck, I don't wanna be an asshole. So I'm sitting there posing with Travis Devon with a fake smile like her titties was drawing it on. So fucking annoyed cause I'm Miss Goliath. Cause some kids said I was there and then they caused a riot. Now I'm surrounded by 25 hounded fuckers trying to get a photo. All because they noticed the top with the box logo on them fucking ears. Guarantee they didn't even hear. Here, bastard. They bandwagon jumping from a pogo. I'm going fucking loco. Hey, Tyler, can I know, bitch? Don't you see me trying to buy a fucking churro? But Tyler, you're my hero. I used to get bullied until I heard Radicals. The last part got to me. See, I used to give a fuck until my cock would bleed. Now I'm the happiest I think I'll ever, ever be. My life is just like yours. No father. My mama must have forgot to stop with a pop condom. In school, I was the one that was thinking outside boxes. So everybody in them would say that I got problems. So when I heard you say it, I said it back like Bakum. You're an inspiration to niggas like me. Not the niggas who just like you cause of lyrics and beats. I'm talking about the niggas who don't know where they're going to be. I heard the song Bastard right in the moment of heat. Not in the summer, but of course I was holding a heat gun on the edge of my feet. I heard that first piano chord and it drew me in like predators carrying treats. Then I said to myself, fuck, is he speaking to me? See me and you, we go together like snaring a beat. I mean snaring a kick drum. See my forearm, I carved a left on it this morning with a glass shard on my green mini ramp that I built in my backyard.
That's weird.
That's hard. That scar from playing air guitar when I see you play at the Roxy. Tyler, I love you. Wanna be just like you. Right. I think about your face and I don't even fucking try to. Wish I had a basement meant for me to hide you. We could play Xbox and listen to In Search Of and eat donuts over conversating about what church does. Come up with weird ass videos with roach bugs. I'm straight edge too, so no drugs on this trip. And I killed that bitch. You should've killed that bitch. You should've took me instead. See, if you can't have her, then he shouldn't either. And if I can't have you, then she shouldn't either. No one should see ya, but me in your t-shirt. I worship you until the fucking wrinkles on my knees hurt. I'll get your Wolfgang, Golf Wang, Flawn off, Free Earl Mobbin. I know it seems like I'm just slobbing on your knob, but I'm just a fan and I am losing my fucking noggin. I ain't got a job and I went out and bought Goblin about five times cause I love you, man. I like tie-dye tees or just plain white tees. I like pants that's cut. I like words like fuck. I got your pics on my wall with the mouth cut out. Now paper cuts on my balls because your dick's in my jaw. And I hit you on Twitter about 10 minutes a day. And now I'm bitter because you don't even reply with a hey. My boys think I'm gay because I play VCR in my car all alone. Speakers
just waking up late.
Alright, my nigga, calm down. It's getting weird to take this pic so I can get on Colossus. Blind as slow as molasses. No, nigga, I see you're loving my shit. And I appreciate the fact that you would suck on my dick. But I'm not gay, so it's awkward. Now I'm grouchy like Oscar after spilling some shit on his newest pair of base Dockers. Yonkers and Yonkers. Sick of hearing about Yonkers, but grateful that it worked. I attack and I conquer. Yeah, whatever, but I had a fucking blast at the concert. I was at the Boston one. I got a t-shirt from Sagan, the one I say Sagan Lockhart. And when you came out to sandwiches, that's when my fucking boy crush got started. Just take this fucking picture, man. Shit.
So that was Colossus by Tyler, Creator. And so you can see kind of like why, like, he had to make that song of being like, this is not me. That's not who I am. This is just songs about, like, I'm telling a story with this, right? Similar to Marshall Mathers versus Slim Shady, right? Slim Shady isn't actually Eminem. It is a character and creation that he has worked on. So love that song because it's so wild. And I remember when I first started doing stand-up, how intense and, like, crazy it was. And I had people, like, come up to me, you know, after I was done, when I got off the stage, I'm like, oh my God, that's so funny. Have you ever blah, blah, blah? Isn't that crazy? And I was like, actually, I'm just trying to tell a story, bro. That's not.
Whatever you're projecting on this.
Whatever
moment,
you're projecting on me is absolutely insane.
That's not a thing.
When I tell you, like, I've had people, like, they pull up, like, weird photos on their phone and be like, isn't that funny? And I'm like, I was telling a story, my friend. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see any of this.
You need to go get help.
You need to go get help, which is bizarre to me, but it happens.
I mean, that's where fame gets really, like, I will take wealth. I do not want any part of fame whatsoever, just because it just does. People are weird.
They get weird, yeah. People
and
get
the
weird
things that they project onto you, like you're an object,
yeah,
instead of realizing that you are a person that could grow, or that you could be doing something that is an expression of creativity,
yeah,
or even something that is you making a critique or sort of presenting something interesting that happens in society,
yeah,
right? It doesn't necessarily have to mimic your own life. It maybe can mimic aspects of it, and you could be presenting it as an objectable thing. It's just like, I'm not presenting this as good or bad.
Yeah.
I'm presenting this as just what it is.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So, like, art is interesting in that, like, everyone, multiple people can consume the same art and come out with so many different interpretations or projections about it.
Exactly. Exactly. So last part I want to talk about just a little bit was me and Queen and one of my best, oldest friends, Desmond. Shout out to Desmond. Went to a two-day EDM festival called Cross in San Diego. This was by far one of the best times, like, I've ever had.
I am so happy for you.
It was crazy. It was insane. It was awesome. But it was definitely amazing. Now, we don't have a lot of time to talk about this, but I kind of want to talk about, like, at least what you saw and what I saw differences in rave culture. Now, yeah, I've been to San Diego for, like, raves and other EDM experiences, so I knew this, but I wanted to hear what, like, your thoughts on that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in the Bay Area in more of an industrial rave setting. I definitely was someone who went to a lot of ghost ship things, and when that ghost ship incident happened, I was not surprised. I'd been to that venue before, and I thought it was crazy. And so my experience is very much painted by that background.
Sure.
I think what I noticed at Edge that was different is that I definitely noticed the difference between people who were for sure people who grew up going to raves,
yeah,
and people who were there for
the,
like,
memes of the world.
Yeah, who were there for, like, an Instagrammable moment. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
That, like, they bought the outfit. They're not going to do any dancing.
No.
They are not going to socialize with any other people.
Right.
They probably, and, like, don't get me wrong, I'm not a person who knows all of the DJs. Like, sure. I don't do that. I just love the music.
Yeah.
And I do really love sort of the vibe of like people who are really there to enjoy that sort of scene where everyone is coming together to have a really good time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It is loving, it is so body positive.
Right, yeah.
It is such an accepting place of, like, yeah, you're gonna do that drug, like, have a good time, be safe. I love the rave dad and rave mom culture.
Yep. Yep.
I love how they don't just take care of their people, but no, they also take care of everybody around.
Anyone,
you will get adopted by a rave dad,
yeah,
and that rave dad will watch you. Yeah. He'll be like,
100%.
Where you going, honey?
Yep.
All right.
What are you doing?
We'll be here. Go have a good time.
Yep.
Here's some water.
Yep.
Go. Like, I just love how watchful, and as somebody, you know, I had a very traumatic, like, situation happen to me before I was in that culture where I was, like, assaulted.
Yeah.
And I found my way to the rave culture, and I wasn't expecting that to be there.
Oh, yeah.
And when I got into it, oh, my God, it restored so much that had been taken away from me through that assault. I had so much restored through going to raves and just see everybody take care of each other there.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of the things that... people don't realize, because I've been going to raves since I was like 18.
Yeah.
I've also been going to heavy metal shows since I was around that same age.
Mm-hmm.
When people think of, because raves and metal shows share similar intensity, they don't realize that they're so similar, because at a metal show, people are going to watch you.
Yeah,
they're going to take care of you.
Yeah,
they're going to make sure if you fall down the pit, they're going to make sure you get right back up.
So fast.
And you're going to be helped, and you're be like, are you good? And whatever. Raving's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is insane to me, like, at all the concerts and festivals and things I've ever been at, every time I'm at a rave, I feel more safe there than I've been to concerts.
Ever.
Like, just regular concerts.
Yeah.
Which from the outside looking in, you're like, but how? Everyone's acting crazy or whatever. It's because we're all like, we want to be here and be safe.
Yes.
Like, we are going to look after you. We're going to make sure you're good. But you can't. You won't know them unless you've actually been in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so one thing I will say about San Diego rave culture and other types of rave cultures, including Austin. Well, Austin before I left, and the Bay Area, is there's a lot of maybe like faux ravers, I'll call them. Faux ravers that are there during the day.
Mm-hmm.
As night comes, that's when you see the actual people that are there.
When we went to the afters, I was like,
the afters, you're in the culture. You're like, these are the people, like, who, whatever. I mean, they're always going to be around, but I've always found that to be the case in general, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Were there any favorite, like, moments or DJ sets that you're like, yes, that was great? Besides Ida and Berg at Spin.
Oof. That was incredible.
By the way, if y'all don't know, we saw Ida Engberg at Spin. She's one of the most popular up-and-coming house DJs from Europe, my nigga. She does not come to the U.S. She came for Cross.
That's incredible.
And went to Spin, and we saw her by accident.
And that was
I tell y'all, like... That's probably one of the best sets I'd ever seen. Outside of, like, huge sets like Disco Lines and Lee Foss and Dom Dalla. She's up there. And that was just at a random, you know, afters. But, yeah, anyways.
I think my best moment was I was going to the bathroom with Desmond. And Desmond was going ahead of me. And I had brought in this, like, loud, clicky phone. Mind you, apparently in the sort of like rules and regulations for the event, they sent out no clicky fans. Oh, I brought my clicky fan.
Right.
And like it was getting real good to me. Like I, for those who don't know, I am black. I grew up with going into black churches. I know how to work a fan.
Right.
Okay. And so there was a set and I was hitting them clacks on the beat going through to the bathroom. I started hopping on one leg. And just clap, 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 clap. And as I was going through, and I was like galloping. There was just this white woman on the side who saw me, and all of a sudden she put up her hand and was like, No, bro.
You're in my face. You're in my face. You're like,
I went past her and I was like, oh.
When you told me that story, I was dying laughing.
Mind you, Desmond was in front of me, and like someone had fallen in front of him. So he like saw me, and he saw the lady, and then he had a woman in front of him that had fallen, and he was like, I couldn't do anything.
There was nothing I could do. There was too much that was going on. Nothing I could do.
I had a great time with that click fan.
No, it was great. God, I think I gotta say one of my favorite moments is actually the beginning of Saturday when it was just me, you, and Desmond, and we were just like vibing at that center stage. That was really, really nice. That was a good like moment of Saturday. Like we're just all of us were together.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And you got really friendly with the people behind us. It was great.
And doesn't pull me. He's like, don't do that shit no more. And I was like, oh,
we are going to be the black baddies that do not talk to people. That was like,
I'm sorry, but I'm friendly. I can't help it.
And I was like, I am friendly enough until the point all of a sudden we're exchanging names. I don't.
I'm sorry. I get excited. I like people. You know,
I also like people. I like talking to them. I also don't want to get attached to a group.
I know.
Unless it's a group we come with.
I agree. Yeah. That was one of my favorite, like, shared moments. There are a lot of other, like, really good moments. Yeah. Like, this is a really good one. Yeah. So one of the things that I enjoy about going to raves is I feel so kind of connected to myself and my body, and like I feel like I learn a lot about myself and stuff.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've talked about this before, but what is something you feel like you've learned from going to this festival?
I mean, I think what I've mostly taken away, because there is a moment in the festival.
Everything Can Be Right, aka Altoids. No, we're not gonna talk about that.
No, that was hilarious. That was absolutely a hilarious moment. But I think in general, there always comes a point for me, and it's like always the peak of the festival for me, where it's like I have danced so much.
Yeah.
I am sort of in this place of just like almost childlike joy.
Yeah.
And where I'm just like doing my thing. Yeah. And I just look out and I just see so many people mm-hmm. who are also there having a similar experience of childlike joy.
Yeah.
And we've created this for ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's just that bit of like, of appreciation for myself, and that I came to this, and that I allowed myself to like let go of stress yeah. for a moment yeah. to actually just be appreciative and present.
Yeah.
And it's like a really euphoric, beautiful feeling of like 100% acceptance.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I don't think I just get to experience a lot of times,
sure.
you know,
sure.
it's like the moment where I actually feel free.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's and very, that, very happens very, very rarely in my life.
Yeah. And on that, I mean, you know, I won't get into too much of my, we just try to keep things light sometimes mm-hmm. here, but, you know, I won't get into like who I am religiously or whatever. But, one thing that I feel like I learned the most about this past experience was like, you know, there's different ways of worshiping the universe and God, mm-hmm. you know? And I realized that part of the reason why I've been drawn to these sorts of things is like, this is sometimes like a place of worship for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I lock in, I shut my eyes, and I am like, I'm so thankful mm-hmm. for who I am, where I am. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful for God mm-hmm. for this moment, mm-hmm. for allowing me to move my body, allowing me mm-hmm. to be connected with the universe and all of that. And like, that is not, I'm not saying I don't get the experience of church or any other, you know, religious experiences that I have had, whether it's ayahuasca or whatever, but I came to that realization this past weekend. It was like, it is a form of worship for me, mm-hmm. you know, and you can worship in so many different ways, whether you're at a kitchen table or doing whatever, but like, I feel so connected to the universe and beyond when I am like in these sorts of environments,
yeah.
you know, and with other people, you know, and it's really hard to explain if you haven't like been there and done that, but it's like, yeah, I feel so thankful that I'm here and that you cannot replace that sort of experience. So about 4 months out from changing over.
Actually, one other thing I was just thinking about that was my favorite moment. Who did the surprise guest DJ set on Saturday?
Oh, Chris Lake.
There was a drop that Chris Lake did during that. He was doing like a Destiny's Child mix.
Yeah, yes.
And the drop was so nasty that everyone around just went like, oh.
We all said it together.
Everybody, and it was just like lost a whole bunch of different identities. People were like, oh, we all got locked in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We have to get this incredible
good
job. Drop.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
That was like my favorite.
Yeah. But I want to say, I'm thankful to the people who showed up for my life for my birthday in Texas, spreading that birthday into San Diego, including you, Queen. Thank you so much for being there for
always.
2 weeks, basically.
Always.
I love you guys so much, and I really appreciate that. I feel like I'm getting into 35 on a good note with all my friends. So thank you for listening to Black on Black on Black. We'll be here next Monday, or I will be here. Next up, you've got Hell's Kitchen by John Hell. So whatever's in the mood for, whether it's punk, funk, or junk, you're sure to get an earful of Hell with John Hell. We're going to end on probably one of my favorite Tyler, the Creator songs, which is, you know what? Yeah, Don't Tap That Glass. And we will be back next week.
Ski.
Hey. Hey. Hey.
So.
God damn it. Don't tap that glass. Don't tap that glass. Don't tap that glass.
that glass, don't tap that glass, there's a monster ready. Don't tap that glass, don't tap that glass, baby, don't tap that glass, 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 there's a monster ready. Don't tap that glass, don't tap that glass, baby, don't tap. Bling, 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 bow. Michael Jordan eyes, neck yellow, look like Bing Bow. If it's feeling weird, put a beam out like Bing Bow. Ping pong, baby, chow down, all that pee now. All these niggas wanna be me now. So much snot in my pocket, bro, I need a tissue. Niggas think they Rolling Stone, we can press the issue. Every curly hair bitch in LA, I done had. Got the F-40 on a 405, don't ask. Modi got his bitch took, Modi got his head bust, Modi got his chain snatched, Modi must be fed up. We told you, you ain't wanna listen. Now you, looking like a victim. Bring it back, we back it up. Get a stack, spin a stack, we stack it up. We just talking down, on the squad, we turn it up. Honestly, baby, I don't give a fuck. Don't tap that glass, don't tap that glass, don't tap that glass, nigga, don't tap that glass, there's a monster. Don't tap that glass, baby, don't tap that glass, 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 nigga, don't tap that glass, there's a monster. Don't tap that glass, don't tap that glass, the damn hoe. Nigga said I lost touch with the regular folks. I ain't never been regular, you niggas is jokes. What that vest gon' do, boy, I aim at the throat. Got a pocket full of snot, but your spirit is broke. Like, I'm 49 still in the street. Like, your prostate exam in a week. Like, niggas drop my bomb off the hate. I got hugs in my home, bitch, I cannot relate. Hey, baby, wanna know what I might do? That's about 9 inches long if I like you. You can get a workout, not in the gym, bitch. You ain't gotta lie, we can smell the Ozempic. Bring it back. Back, we back it up, get a stack, spin a sack, we stack it up. Niggas talking down, on the squad, we turn it up. Nigga, honestly, baby, I don't give a fuck.
Don't tap the glass.